This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, hey, everybody. I'm Alan Taylor from The Drive here at the Craftsman Display at SEMA 2018. I am very fortunate to be a part of this Craftsman Club, of which you guys should all be part of that club, too. You can find out more about that. Just go to craftsman.com and click on the club thing. But the guy sitting right next to me is also part of the club. And that's what's cool about the car hobby is that it is a big club. It's a social club, but it's also a big family. And Wayne Carini is Uncle Wayne to me.
You know, we were on this stage together last year, and I mentioned that my first toolbox was a Craftsman toolbox. I've been very fortunate within that year period of time to become part of the company now.
I think
I planted the seed correctly.
Right.
And next thing you know, I'm representing the product line.
So have
now.
You gotten any of these new boxes?
Not like this, no.
This is the newest
thing.
That
looks beautiful.
I'm telling you what, you got to have a forklift to move that thing. It's so big and thick and heavy.
They came up and did a TV commercial with me and they brought a box, but not like that.
Yeah. So Wayne Carini, what is it like in the life and times of Wayne Carini at SEMA? I mean, we're scheduled back-to-back at all these different things.
Yeah,
Where have you been, and where do you go next?
I just came from Car Capsule.
All right.
I'm here with you.
I saw you standing in it all night long, by the way.
Yes, it was a little cardboard cutout in there of me.
It's so real looking.
Yeah, it is.
Are you wearing the same clothes?
Just about. That's all I have.
I know, right. So where do you go next?
It's very busy. I have to go and meet some clients of Craftsman, an Australian group.
Wow, cool.
And then we'll be at the center stage with Wade Kawasaki this afternoon.
Oh, Nikhil Haggerty, the chairman, and Haggerty Insurance.
Yeah, we'll be with a bunch of those guys over there doing that. I'll be at Kayser Compressors. I'll be back over Car Capsule. When you come here, you got to sort of plan your visits because it takes so long to get back and forth.
Totally.
And then people want to stop and talk to you and take pictures with you. So it's fun.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
And that's the best part of coming to SEMA is seeing our fans and meeting so many great people.
Yep. So you guys know about Chasing Classic Cars, Wayne Carini. So talk about your show a little bit. New season coming out. Is it already started? What's going on?
We're doing 12 one-hour episodes now instead of 26 half-hours.
Wow.
So it gives me the opportunity.
Do you prefer that?
I'm home more, so we're doing a little more restoration in the shop. I was on the road 187 days last year.
I know how that feels.
Yeah, so that's a little bit too much, and my wife says, time to cut that out.
Yeah, well, you know what? She's the boss.
Yeah, well.
Happy wife, happy life.
Married 35 years. I must be doing something right.
Good for you. Yeah. Well, anything you can talk about on the shows that are...
Well, we were just at Pebble Beach, and we showed 4 different cars at Pebble and sold some at auction, bought some. So you'll be seeing a lot of Pebble Beach episodes coming up. So we've already shown 6 of the episodes this season. I think we come back out in December to show the next 6. And then we'll be on to next season. We have a 3-year contract at the present time, so we'll be around for a few more years.
Chasing Classic Cars.
Yeah,
fantastic.
We're 13 years doing this.
And is it really been that much
13
already?
Years,
oh, my
gosh. 194 episodes right now in the bag.
Wow.
Yeah, and we're in 42 countries now all over the world.
Wow.
It's immense. I mean,
how far do you travel now? When you say you travel, do you travel worldwide to do this stuff?
Well, not so much to shoot the show. We went over to Kuwait once and over to England a couple of times, but we stay pretty much, local, in the United States.
Yeah, right.
You know, Canada every once in a while. But the show is so popular in England and in Australia.
You know,
New Zealand,
you're kind of the Wheeler Dealers of America. Because, Mike Brewer, we were on stage with him yesterday from Wheeler Dealers. We loved watching them playing with their cars, and they were doing it kind of in that British way. And I think they like you because you're doing it in the American way.
Well, Mike and I are such good friends.
Yeah,
we become such close friends, and Michelle, his wife. So it's really neat to do things with them, So we go around and we do actually
You let him drive
shows.
Your Ferrari?
I let him drive my Ferrari a couple weeks ago. He was
honestly,
driving me nuts.
Were you going,
I don't know what I was thinking.
God!
You know, he's behind me, and he's got the gas pedal. He's revving the engine up at 6,000-7,000 RPMs, you know, and I'm going, what are you doing? So I'm in a car in front of him in a parade, and I'm calling him, you know, tell him, cut it out. And, of course, I see him, and he's looking at the phone. Look in the mirror view mirror. He's looking at the phone. He puts the phone down. So, yeah, he's fun. But we were with Bob Scanlon, the president of our network, a few weeks ago in Pebble Beach. And we sort of find out for the first time that Wheeler Dealers is the number one show that Discovery has in the world.
Wow.
Gas Monkey is number two, and Chasing Classic Cars is number three.
Congratulations. So, give it up. Number three right here out in the world.
Yeah, we're kind of cool with that.
Right?
And Bob said, Gas Monkey, better watch out. You're catching up, and you may pass them real soon.
Yeah, well, you
so
know,
we have
I mean,
a huge fan
it's
base
all
for
about
that.
The talent. Well, hey, everybody, I'm Alan Taylor from The Drive here at the Craftsman Display. We'll be back with some more.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
I told her we'd still be friends and she didn't care, but anyway, I tried last week for to go and she wasn't.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga.
I can't stop this feeling.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
I'm Alan Taylor. This is the Craftsman Live stage here at SEMA 2018. Wayne Carini's over here in the booth. What was your first car?
First car was a 52 Chevy. I bought it for $20.
$20.
And it became a lot car. So we had a 300-acre farm my family grew up on. And we used to all blast through the orchards, you know, the dirt roads in the orchards. So,
Where was that?
In Glastonbury, Connecticut.
Connecticut, okay.
Yeah.
Because we had orchards, orange orchards in California. And I used to do that on my go-kart.
I think the first car, though, that I had registered on the street was a 59 Volkswagen.
Okay.
And then I got a 66 MGB, and then I had a 66 Corvette. Then I went to college, and I got another Volkswagen, and, you know, it all went from there.
So then your first big collector car you bought when you went, I can't believe I've got this.
Probably was my Hudson Italia. So I'd been after that car from when I was 16, and I bought it when I was 52.
Oh, my
gosh. And that really was one of the greatest moments. But it was because of that car I got my television show.
So serious.
Donald Osborne wrote a story about that long period of time of me pursuing that car.
That is awesome.
And it appeared in the New York Times. And then Jim Ostrowski, the head of my production company, read that article, called
See
me
that?
The Monday morning, said I'd like to do a TV show about you. I read this article. And here we are.
Look at
13
that.
13 years later.
Like, that's one of those dream come true.
It is. It is.
Right?
And, you know,
you're just a car guy and you get the
right
phone call.
At the right place, at the right time, you know, and took the opportunity.
Did you
know,
believe it when they called you, though?
Well, he called me and said, I'd like to come and talk to you. I said, what does it pay? He says, it doesn't pay a thing, but you never know what can happen.
Right.
So we did a pilot. The Discovery Channel loved it. They said we'd like to do a series, and you can call it anything you want. You can do anything you want.
That is
so
great.
We came up with the idea of Chasing Classic Cars in about a 10-minute meeting over lunch, and here we are.
Do you have any cars you wish you'd have never bought, or motorhomes, or trailers?
Yeah, a BMC bus I bought. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking.
You still have it?
I still have it because nobody else wants it.
Ask about mine that I still have. What, my kids have watched for 20 years.
You've got one of those.
I have an Olympic bus. I bought all the Olympic machines after the Olympics in 84 in the LA Olympics. And I sold them all, and then I saw one, and this flush of energy came up, and I go, I got to get that back. So I bought it back from the guy. I drove it from California up to Oregon onto my property, and I parked it, and there it sat. And that was 15, 17 years ago. It's got 22,000 original miles, and it still has all the Olympic logos all over it. It's a 30-foot bus. It was the torch relay bus for the runners that ran around America. Okay. So it's a historical vehicle. But I don't know what to do with it. I should send you some pictures of it.
I've got my bus, and you know, when I bought it at the auction, I was bidding on it, and with no intention. The guy said the reserve was $125,000. So at 50 grand, I said, I'm safe.
Yeah.
And then at 50 grand, the next guy that was bidding against me, he stopped. And I said, come on, raise your hand. Bid one more time, because I'm not going to bid anymore.
Right.
And he didn't, and all of a sudden the auctioneer says, we're selling the car. And I go, what? I can't believe this. And he hammered it sold.
Oh.
I went back to the hotel and went to sleep. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning going, what did I do?
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Oh,
so trying to figure out how to get it home and things. Yeah. But I've had more fun with that bus, I'll tell you.
Really?
Yeah, it's been phenomenal.
What do you want people to know about Wayne Carini that you don't think that they know?
Well, I mean, I think my show is truly reality. There's no script. There's nothing that goes on. I don't have people finding the cars. I find all the cars. I call my team. We go and film. It's very simple. There's three of us to do the show. So there's my producer, my cameraman, and myself, and then the girl in the office that cuts it. So it's a very small team. The most important thing is, though, is giving back. And so I have an autistic daughter. And that's my charity of choice because of that. And being able to give back to that community and help in so many ways.
Yeah.
I talk about it on my TV show. I raise a lot of money for autism-related areas in the country. So that's what I give back, and I think that's really important. And then being able just to talk to anybody. And getting out and seeing the fans and being able to talk to them and listen to their stories and stuff. And sometimes I get good leads that way.
Yeah, yeah.
I was talking to a gentleman at a party last night, and he said, I know where there's 10 cars with less than 100 miles on them. The guy would just drive them home and park them and then go get another one.
Number 3 in the world, his television show. My friend Wayne Carini, give it up for Wayne. Thank you very
Thank
much,
you
Wayne.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back. My dad is a proud doer, always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com, and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome back. I'm Alan Taylor. This is the Craftsman Live stage at SEMA 2018. I'm sitting here with my buddy Craig Morrison, his pop, the guy who started it all, Art Morrison Enterprises. I got it right. They make Art Morrison chassis and the best hot rods in the world, the winningest hot rods. If you look underneath, they probably got an Art Morrison chassis under there. And just next door over here at Barrett Jackson, there's a 60 Corvette that's Art's personal car. Going to be selling it at Barrett Jackson. I cannot believe it. I said I wanted first ride refusal for the $10,000 I offered, but he evidently, it's 10 doesn't get it bought.
Probably not.
So, Craig.
Yeah.
You and I are buddies on Facebook.
Yep.
I know you're a big outdoorsman. I know you from that side, and I know that you're also a craftsman. Now, we're sitting here in the Craftsman booth, right?
Yeah.
And you grew up doing this, so because your dad, this is what he's done, right? But so many people, they look at you guys, what you guys have done, what your dad started, and you're still doing, and it means so much to them to be able to see the real side of people. I love watching you in your personal life. Because I see this guy who's my buddy. He's out hunting and fishing, and he's got his little boy out, and they're out in the woods in their Jeep and doing their thing. I love that.
Yeah.
But when I meet people that know the Morrisons for the Art Morrison chassis, all they know is, you know, the work that was done.
Yeah.
How do you try and position yourself in the world of being in the footsteps of this giant right next to you. He's like a big bear.
Oh, he really is. And sort of what I've kind of brought to the game with Art Morrison Enterprises is the different chassis, listening to our customers as far as what they're looking for from us, and then working with our engineering team on developing new parts, new suspension, new technology to get it in the hands of our customers.
So, I mean, in that world, you don't blend the two, huh? Because I know you as the outdoorsman.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's stuff I like to do for fun, and it's so much different than what we do during the week with the hot rod stuff. I mean, growing up as a kid, I always played with hot rods and cars, and I've got a couple hot rods myself, and so I mean, did that a bunch, and it's just nice to kind of do something a little bit different on the weekends from time to time.
The workmanship of what you guys do at your facility there is fantastic. But it's also bleeds into, you know, the kind of outdoorsman that your son is, yeah. and what you're teaching your little boy, who, by the way, looks exactly like you.
My mini-me, yeah.
I'm telling you, it's amazing. Now, let's talk with Art. You have done something that changed the world for hot rodders, brother. You really have.
Somewhere along the line, a business that starts in a garage, eventually, if it stays in business long enough, will morph into a real business. And that's what happened in our case. And along the way, we learned that if you want to keep really good people, you've got to treat good people really great. And that's what we do. And we have folks that have been there up to 38 years. And so currently, we've got like four people that have got 30 plus years in the joint. And so they're the ones that make the magic happen. They're the ones that do it. They just make us look good.
When it all started, it was Art Morrison.
It was me. But like I say, it just... once you get into it and you surround yourself with good people, it's killer. There's just nothing like it.
What are you passionate about? Because obviously it was cars to begin with, right?
Right.
And you put that love and energy into it. Besides that, I know he's an outdoorsman.
Yeah.
What is your thing? Are you an outdoorsman too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fishing. Fly fishing.
Yeah, fly fishing. I got my wife involved in fly fishing about 15 years ago, and we go a lot of different places.
What do you want the world to know about Art Morrison and your chassis? And because I was there one time, and maybe I can't remember if I was there or I saw it. You guys were doing one for an old Volvo, and you'd do them for anything, right?
We will build it for anything that has four wheels. It can have three wheels. It doesn't matter. We've built frames for such a wide variety of vehicles. And each one we want to make better than the last one. And so our engineering team is constantly working on suspension tweaks just to get a better quality ride. And that's what we strive more for than about anything.
And we've got probably 20-some customer cars here, ranging everything from Corvettes and Camaros and all that sort of thing to an all-electric 1949 Mercury.
Well, it's fun to watch you guys go through your lives and how you have such a, I don't know, just a zest for life. And it shows up in the products you make, in your son and grandson. How do you like being a granddad, right?
Oh, it's a kick. There's nothing like it.
I'm telling you, I do believe that was the rebirth of me.
Yeah.
Watching not watching him be born, but seeing him once he came out and all
absolutely.
Cleaned up. Yeah. I wasn't there, I promise. But, you know, I mean, it's like, man, that's... And you get a second chance to be a dad, a granddad.
Absolutely.
And then also teaches you how to be a better dad to your kids that you have now and appreciate that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Since my son just gave us the cut, you guys have gone too fast. What advice do you have for kids working with their parents and vice versa? I want some advice for you working with kids. It's not easy. Working with family is not easy.
Patience. I think that's the biggest thing is just.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Patience.
We're actually unbelievably just close friends as much as father and son. And he's exactly right. We both know when to step away and when not to push a button, because you can always push a button. The trick is to avoid pushing the button.
Yeah, that's right. Those emotional buttons.
Yeah, exactly.
Art Morrison, Craig Morrison, you guys, check out his Corvette going for sale at Barrett Jackson January.
January 19th.
Right behind us here in the Barrett Jackson auction. January 19th.
19th. It's Saturday on the 19th.
Wow, that is prime time. Yeah. Thank you, brother. Keep up all that fishing. Okay. I'm Alan Taylor here in the Craftsman booth. There's more coming. Stay with us.
Thank you.
You can spend this fall hauling bags of leaves to the curb or hauling Hurry in to your local Dodge dealership for great deals on Dodge Charger with 292 horsepower and 30 mpg highway. Dodge Challenger, the most affordable V8 in its class. And Dodge Durango. This fall, get great deals at your local Dodge dealership. EPA estimated MPG. Actual results may vary based on Ward's Middle Specialty segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is The Drive.
All right, I'm Alan Taylor. Welcome back here in the Craftsman Garage, here at the Craftsman Stage, and get a chance to meet and talk to some of my old friends, meet a few new friends along the way, and I'm proud to be associated with America's most trusted dual brand. And sitting next to me is my friend Larry Kester. Larry drives a 3,000 horsepower, what do you call it, a tractor pulling, what do you call
it? Well, it more looks like a little dragster.
Yep.
We call them pulling tractors we're dragging a sled. But it looks more like a dragster because everyone that comes up and goes, what the hell is this thing?
And a dragster with tires that big.
Because it's got big tires, bigger than the dragster tire, but the blown air, Minor Brothers Racing engine, it's alcohol funny car motor, basically. So when people see it and they go, well, hell, this is no tractor. But it really is a pulling tractor because we drag a sled.
Right. Big old heavy sled. You guys have all seen that before at the fairs and all those kind of places where they're pulling them and just throwing dirt in the air and then rawr, until it stops.
or you go upside down.
Oh, or something horrible happens. So you may or may not notice that he's not wearing shoes. He's sitting here barefooted? You're just a bear.
I'm just a couple feet short.
He's a couple feet short. He lost his legs in a tractor accident. So Larry drives a 3,000 horsepower tractor puller. But this story is one that it just is so inspiring to me, the man that you are and the man that you've become. But at that moment in time when you thought you were going to die, I don't know, where do you start? Tractor flips over, catches on fire, crushes your legs, hits you in the head.
It was the day after my fifth wedding anniversary, and I had just built a new home, and we live up on a big hill out in southern Indiana and on one of my dad's farms. So I'd been mowing around the farm with the farm tractor. It was a 5,000 Ford, it was an older tractor, but one of them tractors that you drive every day. It had the loader on the front, and I had a chopper on the back. So I had been mowing, and my daughter wanted to ride along, but she's only three, and my wife said, no, she's not riding with you. So, and my son was 5 months old, so he definitely wasn't. So I'm mowing around the farm, and they're setting up on the front porch overlooking the farm, and I told my wife, I said, I'm mowing, then we're going to go to this party tonight to kind of celebrate our fifth wedding anniversary. And so she goes to the back of the house. I go down the driveway, and for whatever reason, there must have been a little patch that I missed up in the field next to the driveway. And I don't remember any of this, but what happened is I got up there and I got too close to the bank, and the tractor turned upside down. And when it turned upside down, I went with it. I could always jump off of that tractor if it ever turned over. But it was a 65-mile Ford, and no roll cage and no seat belt. And the tractor rolled completely upside down. Well, when it rolled upside down, my head was between the fender and the ground, and a piece of steel went in my head about 3 inches. While it was laying upside down, the gas ran out of this tractor, and the neighbor girl saw it happen. She actually lives about 600 feet down from my house, and I'm probably 800 feet from my house, and she runs up there and she sees that I'm unconscious and the tractor's smoking. And so she runs back home and calls my wife. Well, my wife's in 1986, nobody had cell phones. Thank God if we didn't have them now, we'd probably all be a lot more sane. But she calls her and no answer and no answer and no answer. So then she called the ambulance and called my parents and So my parents come down and my brothers, they come down. They can't get me out from underneath this tractor. So my brother gets up in the field with a Jeep and he starts jerking on this tractor. Well, as he's jerking on it, the battery falls out. All the gas that had been running on me for, I don't know, however long, it ignites that gas. So now we're on fire. I'm unconscious. For however long this goes on, I don't know, but then everyone from our little town of St. Wendell, Indiana, is coming by on a Saturday night from church, and now we've got this many people out there, and they're all trying to get me out from underneath this tractor, but they can't. So my wife still doesn't even know there's anything going on. The tractor's on fire. I'm underneath, and my mom runs up to the house, can't even talk to her, drags her to the front window and points, and they finally get me out from underneath the tractor, and I'm dead. My brother, for whatever reason, had to watch some show and learned how to do CPR, and he gets me back going, and they haul me off, life flight, to Evansville, 15 miles away. They can't do nothing for me, so they decide to move me to Indianapolis, where all the race car drivers go, Methodist Hospital. Get there, well, can't get there because that life flight's gone, so they haul me up there in an Army medevac. A guy that I went to grade school with and in high school, we farm his ground, was an anesthesiologist. He flies with my wife and I to Methodist Hospital. I die four more times. He gets me going.
Died four more times. Goodness gracious.
So I'm pretty sure the guy didn't want me.
He says he's pretty sure that guy didn't want him because he wouldn't let him go.
He wouldn't open the door, and I'm pretty sure the other place I was going, I didn't want to go either.
Larry Kester, everybody, give it up for him. We'll be back with some more.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
I'm Alan Taylor. This is the Craftsman Garage at SEMA 2018. Sitting right next to me is Larry Kester. What happened to your legs?
Well, they take me in and the doctor tells my wife, he says, we're going to take him to surgery, but he's not coming out. But we're going to take him to surgery anyway. 5 hours later, they come out, and she tells my wife, he's alive. I don't know why. We took his left leg off.
Stubborn, that's why.
Too mean to die. So I make it through that. They take my other leg off because I'm burnt 42% of my body. From 6'3 to 220 pounds down to 132 pounds, and 4 months later, they say, we're going to let you go home. We're going to bring you back because we needed to do some more surgeries, but we're going to let you go home. I go home to the whole town is out. For 4 miles coming into my city, there's trees and telephone poles with yellow ribbons around. Welcome home, Larry. All the kids from school are standing on the side of the highway. Larry, Larry, you know, I'm crying like a little baby. You know, this is too much. We get home, been home for a couple weeks. But, you know, I'm an outside guy, and I couldn't do anything. I was the man, but I wasn't. I wanted to be the breadwinner. I had been the breadwinner, but I wasn't. I'm looking out a little window that I had looked out in that hospital for 4 months, and I hated it. I hated what was going on, and I didn't. You know, there was hundreds of people coming to our house trying to help me. Oh, we're so sorry you're handicapped. Oh, we're so sorry you're an invalid. And I'm like, damn it, I'm not an invalid and I'm not handicapped. I'm just short. And I just kept telling them, I'm not handicapped, I'm short. Well, it wasn't helping. One day, my wife, a couple weeks go by, and one day my wife goes, I got to go to the grocery and get some stuff. We've been gone for 4 months, and God bless my wife. She was with me the entire time. She says, can you watch Ashley, who's three? I'm going to take the baby. I'm going to go to the grocery. I'll be back in just an hour or two. So she leaves, and I'm sitting there in my new house, and I'm in the living room, and my little girl, Ashley, is back the hallway, and back, she's in the back bedroom, and she starts hollering for me. She's crying and hollering and crying, and Daddy, 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 you gotta come. And I can't get to her. I can't get in my chair. I'm not strong enough to get myself in that chair. And so I just, what I call knuckled and butt. I got back to that hallway in that bedroom, and she looks at me, and I've got tears running down my cheeks, and she's got tears running down her cheeks, and she walks across the room, and she puts her arms around my neck, and she goes, don't cry, Daddy. I love you even without your legs.
It still does it to you, doesn't it? God darn it.
And then I really was crying, and I thought, you big dummy, that baby wants a daddy. She didn't care that I didn't have no legs.
It didn't make a bit of difference to her.
I don't think she'd have cared if I had no arms. She wanted a daddy. So I thought, you know what? Get your act together and be a daddy. So the next week, I went back to my shop. I called one of the guys at the shop, and I said, come down here and pick me up. A mile and a half from my dad's shop where we kept all our trucks. And I said, get down here. Well, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm coming to the shop.
I'm going back to work. So I'm a craftsman. I'm not going to sit around.
You know, we use all these tools in everything we do. We've used craftsman tools our whole life. And we were, you know, but I couldn't sit because everywhere I sat, I got burned.
Burned, yeah.
So I went up there for a couple hours, and I went up there for 3 hours, and then I went up there for 4 hours. And then one day I grabbed an axe handle that had been broke off, or a sledgehammer handle, and I told Raymond, I said, Raymond, cut that damn thing off. And he goes, I held it up in my truck, and I held it up to the gas pedal, and I said, cut this thing off.
Are you serious?
No, this is a true story. And he goes, well, what the hell you want me to cut that off for? I said, because I'm going to go for a ride. And he said, you can't drive that truck. And I said, hell yes, I can drive. Cut that thing off. So he went over and cut it off. And I got up in that truck, and I threw the wheelchair off the side, and I took off down the road, and I was gone for about an hour.
I love it.
And
that's perseverance right there.
Everybody's like, where the hell's Larry at? You know, Raymond's like, he went for a drive. Well, he can't drive. And I said, well, sure I can. I've been driving trucks and everything my whole life. You know, this is what I grew up with. I love right. this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a driver, you know. Everybody in here is some kind of driver. Either you want to go fast or you want to go slow. And I wanted to go fast. And I went out and got my truck. And I went for a drive, and I got a little part of my freedom back.
That's right.
So, you know, but it took that little baby girl.
Yeah. That was the aha moment for you.
Babies, kids, they don't care. They don't
From
talk.
The mouths of babes.
They don't know how to lie to
That's
you.
That's right. That's right. So our friend from Craftsman, Daryl, has a little girl named Bella. How old is she? About four, five, five. And I know you know exactly what he's talking about. When your little kid looks at you and gives you love, nothing matters.
There was people coming out of the woodwork wanting to help me.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
She helped more than all those people.
They didn't tell me what I needed to hear.
That's right.
She didn't tell me she loved me just the way I was.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe that's what somebody needs. Somebody just come. You know what? I don't care if you're ugly.
I don't care if you're ugly.
I've got that going on too, but anyway, they don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care if you have one leg or one arm.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever. I love you just the way you are.
That's right. Well, I love you just the way you are, brother. You're the best.
You know what?
The reason why I wanted you up here is I wanted a spotlight on a true American craftsman that perseveres through thick and through thin, and his heart was ignited by his three-year-old child to get back into the life again and start living it. And now, 3,000 horsepower, drag racing champion. Thank you very much,
thank
brother.
You. Thank you for the craftsmen, guys. We use your stuff all the time. My son builds engines, and so our whole shop's full of these tools.
That's right. How do you like that? All right. Well, thank you very much, sir. Larry Kester, everybody. Give it up for him. We'll be back with some more.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real-world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
There are many words you could use to describe the new Kia Stinger GT. Stunning, stylish, sporty. The word breathtaking, however, isn't just an adjective. It's a warning. Because while the ability to go 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds might take your breath away, going 60 to 0 with powerful Brembo brakes will help you catch it again. The 2018 Kia Stinger GT, fueled by youth. Stinger GT rear-wheel drive using launch control with factory-equipped 19-inch wheels. Results may vary. Do not attempt. Always drive safely.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
I'm Alan Taylor. This is the Craftsman Live stage here at SEMA 2018. And, of course, Craftsman is here in full force. New toolboxes, new tools, and new red. Russell Holmes is joining me. He is from Garage Rehab on Discovery and Velocity and part of the Gas Monkey crew. You see him running around keeping control of the big monkey himself, Richard Rawlings. Who is Russell Holmes?
So I'm from New York and I'm a contractor and I've loved cars and motorcycles my whole life. And when Richard came up with the idea of doing Garage Rehab, he figured he needed a guy who could handle the stress and everything we do. So I come in and I literally take care of everything that Richard wants to have done on these garages in 1 week with a ridiculous budget, because as I guess the wealthy get wealthy by being cheap. So we have Richard, myself, and Chris Stevens, and we get out there and we save failing automotive mechanic shops all over the country. And it's just something I really, really wanted to be part of, and Richard's allowed me to do that.
Tell us your gearhead story.
So I actually moved out of my house at 16 and got my own apartment, and I finished high school barely. My first car was a $75 78 Camaro that didn't run, and the guy's like, oh no, I think it just needs gas. Well, after I took the intake manifold off, underneath the intake manifold was a Craftsman 916 wrench. So the guy had had the engine apart and he wasn't very upfront with what was wrong with the car. So I rebuilt that in high school, which is really all I wanted to get out of high school. And so I left high school with a badass car. And then from that, I just figured, what could I do that would make the most money? And it was construction at that point. So I worked part-time in a gas station, doing oil changes and that kind of stuff. And then I'd be framing houses and that, and I just moved up from there. I've done everything there is. I built tennis courts. I built docks. I surveyed. I was a bouncer. I ran a repossession company. I've always done whatever I could do to stay busy and stay ahead of the curve. And in doing that, it has pretty much allowed me to be around Richard and what he wants, because anybody who knows him knows his mind changes like that. So he's like, I want a blue wall, a green wall, a yellow wall, an orange wall. I don't want a wall. He hit gold with me being able to do that. But my main drives come from wanting to be able to help people. I'm a paramedic from New York, and so I did a lot of, I was a top responder 5 years in a row. I just have this drive to be able to help people, because coming up, I didn't have anything. So I wanted to be able to give back, and doing this show has enabled me to carry that on and being able to continue to help people.
How has this kind of celebrity lifestyle changed your life? Because the kind of celebrity, if I could say that, that you are, that Richard is not like the Kardashians. You guys actually do something. The Kardashians, I don't even know. I don't even care. But I care what you guys do because you represent my hobby.
Right. Well, I hate to use the word celebrity also because I'm just a regular guy who's been blessed to be able to be in the position I'm in. And I love to be able to go around and, you know, meet people and talk to them about what they love and our common interests. And as far as the Kardashian comment, I guess Richard didn't tell you about the new lipstick line he's coming out with. But anyway, you know, that's one of the things that it is with Richard, because when you meet him and you meet me, we're just regular guys who are totally appreciative of where we're at. And we know we wouldn't be here without places like SEMA and the people who come here who love what we love, and we're just lucky enough to get to do it for all you guys.
So I understand Richard pays $15 an hour to you.
When did he get that raise? Because I'm still not making that. Richard is really fair, and he's a really good guy. And one of the things that he's been for me in this industry is a mentor. You know, he's been able to show me the pitfalls not to avoid. And I got to tell you, one of the greatest things that I saw from him is we were sitting down, we were eating, he had a mouthful of food, and somebody said, hey, can I get a picture? He put his fork down, got up, and took a picture. And that, to me, spoke volumes of him. Because when I met Richard the first time, he was a jerk. And I was super upset, and I said, what is this guy's deal? And then he apologized to me. He's like, look, I was in Sweden for 2 weeks. I'm jet-lagged. I'm hungover. And I go, cool, what's up, Richard? And from then on, we hit it off great.
Any new episodes of Garage Rehab coming out you want to tell about?
So I can't tell you too much about it. I will tell you we have a great new season coming up, and we've done things bigger and better than we did in season one, because season one was a learning process for everybody. So season two, we're still doing a little bit of filming to wrap that up because we want to give you guys a really good product, but it is ridiculous. You may or may not actually see a couple of garages fail. And that's actually a learning for us also, because you can only teach somebody so much. But there's a lot of really, really cool things around that I can't tell you about, but Richard and I get along well, and you're going to see a lot more stuff from the two of us together. And I think one of the reasons why we get along so well is Richard is high-strung, and he is nonstop. And again, I'll always say I'm from New York, and we're constantly moving too, so I think he's going to have a long way to go to be able to burn this guy out.
Russell Holmes, everybody, Garage Rehab on Discovery Channel. Give it up for Russell Holmes.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome to the Craftsman Garage here at SEMA 2018. I'm Alan Taylor. We have a very special guest here. Her name is Haley Deegan, Rookie of the Year NASCAR driver right here, 17 years old, and she brought her dad with her, who happens to be Brian Deegan, X Games champion. I love that. Brought your dad with you. Well, first of all, I'm going to hand the mic to Dad and let Dad brag about his daughter, because to me, I'm a dad too, right? So, Brian, brag about your daughter.
Yeah, thanks for having us. And it's cool to get to be a race family and, you know, supported by Craftsman. We work a lot in the shop, you know, father, daughter, father, sons. And it's just cool to be in racing and raise my daughter in off-road. I raised her in off-road racing and, you know, dabbled into stock cars a little bit, little circle track. And then, you know, she got into late models and, you know, Toyota heard about her, tested in a stock car, went out, basically it was really fast. Got a development program, first full season in K&N. I'll let her tell the story. So here.
Yeah, so this year is my first year in the NASCAR K&N series, and I ended up being the first girl to win a race, first girl to get a pole. We ended up getting a pole on dirt and on pavement. And so I got two poles this year. I have one win. I have three top threes, five top fives. It's a good season. It's dream rookie year. And then we end up getting rookie of the year, too.
Unbelievable. These are stories that you only get to see, you know, in this hobby. Father, daughter, working together, both now becoming champions at such young ages, really. I mean, for you, Brian, even young age, and for your daughter, I mean, not, you know, you're not even legal yet. You're only 17. Yeah. Unbelievable. And working with Craftsman, what an amazing thing. So now you get to brag about your dad. Now it's your turn.
Oh, yeah. No, my dad's been... He's raised me in the racing world. He got me into racing when I was 8 years old, and started when he made the transition from freestyle motocross to off-road truck racing. And I was 7 at the time, and I went to one of his off-road races, and I like begged him to get me an off-road truck. And so, ever since then, he's been really just training me. And together, we get a race in the off-road series. He's won tons of championships in the Lucas Oil series, and he raced rally cars too, won championships races there. So it's definitely been a long road.
My son showed me, obviously, you also do a little racing, too, in the off-road, don't you?
Yeah, so I race off-road trucks. That's where I got my start in racing at. I was 8 years old, and I still race off-road trucks, so I feel like it's a good foundation of dirt racing. It helps in stock car racing. So I think that dirt foundation is definitely something that not many people have, and I think it's a unique ability.
I'm Alan Taylor here in the Craftsman booth. We'll be back with some more.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Well, I'm Alan Taylor, and this is the Craftsman Stage, Craftsman Live here at SEMA 2018. Joining me, her name is Haley Deegan, Rookie of the Year NASCAR driver right here, 17 years old, and she brought her dad with her, who happens to be Brian Deegan, X Games champion. Craftsman, you got a little relationship with Craftsman. Do you actually wrench on cars with dad and the brothers?
Yeah, I'd say in the off-road truck world, I know how to work on my car. Stock car racing, we're still learning. It's my first year.
What's the biggest difference in, you know, from those two worlds?
Really, it's almost like two different sports because it's just so different in the sense that it's just a whole nother big level, stock car racing. Off-road racing is big, but it's a different, it's just totally different. You're in the Baja world, you're in the, where it's surrounded kind of like Mexico, West Coast, and then Wisconsin area, and then you come stock car racing, it's all North Carolina.
I want you to interview your dad for a second. Ask him what he loves so much about what he does.
Yeah, Dad, what's that?
Yeah, I'd say, growing up racing Supercross, Motocross, you know, going to X Games, you know, winning X Games a bunch of times. It's dangerous. Broke a lot of bones. You know, that's about the time I, you know, had Haley. And actually, I didn't. My wife did. And so then we raised her to be a racer, just to be around the racetrack, and, you know. And there came a point where I'd won, you know, everything I felt like I set goals to accomplish, and I accomplished those. And we had a lot of good relationships, built a lot of, you know, good partnerships, and was able to pass those down to Haley, you know, to my son who does motocross. You know, his nickname's Danger Boy on social. You know, he's the youngest kid to backflip a dirt bike at 10 years old and a multi-time champion in motocross. And so the goal for me has always just been, I feel like I did it as a dad in sports, what I wanted to do, and it's time for me to pass that down and focus on my kids. And, you know, Haley, you know, is the only girl to win a NASCAR race. I mean, NASCAR's been around a long time, okay? Like, stock cars have been around a long time. For her to be the first girl or first season to win a race, you know, and next year it's a reality, you know, she'll be going after a championship, and she is a threat in the stock car scene. And, you know, hopefully she's the female that heads into the big ranks of trucks, Xfinity Cup, and is a threat to win. And, you know, I know everyone's kind of like, you know, but, you know, I see it. I'm, you know, like I said, people didn't think she was going to win a race either her first season. So I'm excited. You know, like I said, everything's good. Good partners. You know, Craftsman's been, as a guy, tools are everything, right? So, like, for me, I get excited when I look at different tools, and, you know, and it's kind of cool to be able to share that with my daughter, who, you know, most daughters normally get excited to go to the mall and go shopping, right? So, which she still does. She's still a girl, right? So, anyway, we get to share, like, that common bond of being in the shop together, and I cherish that. That's cool, you know, as, you know, fathers out there and have their kids, and I mean, there's no better time spent than your time spent with your kids. And if you can spend that within the race shop, you know, teaching them how to work on things, and that's a skill, you know. So at the end, I think that's cool that Craftsman ties us together like that.
So, Haley, tell me about Mom and how she deals with this with you. I mean, Dad, obviously, I mean, he's the man, but then there's Mom, who's the woman behind the man.
Oh, yeah, my mom's been with my dad ever since she's in her 20s, so she grew up in the racing world. She knows everything about the racing world, motocross, off-road racing, and now getting into stock car racing. So she's used to me racing. She's used to me going fast. It's in our family. It's what we talk about at dinner. It's just, it's an everyday thing for us.
What about brothers? Tell me about your brothers.
My brothers, it's, everyone will come up to me and they're like, oh, it's so cool you race stock cars. And then they see my brothers and it takes it to a whole nother level. It's like, my brother, he is one of the fastest kids in the nation right now on a dirt bike for his age. And he's crazy. First kid to ever do a backflip on a dirt bike. And he just, it's hard to top him. His craziness. It's something, he has common sense, but he takes it to like a whole nother level. And he's so skilled and he does everything. He's like a cat. You can like, it drops out of anywhere, always lands on his feet.
You know what? Kudos to Dad for raising such an altogether, I mean, she's 17. She's Rookie of the Year in NASCAR. I mean, this is amazing what you've done, Brian. I mean, I applaud you. You are actually putting your career on hold. Are you still doing your career? Give us a little on that.
So, yeah, I still race the Lucas Oil Short Course Series, which, you know, I'm still an off-road race truck. It's kind of like Supercross, a one-minute lap time, a lot of jumps. It's exciting, more West Coast racing. And, you know, it's on television. It's probably the biggest sports for an off-road scene. And it's 8 times a year. It's enough for Dad to kind of get his adrenaline going, and it allows me to still have a little goal to strive for. We won the biggest race of the year a couple weeks ago, the Challenge Cup, and I ended up winning that race in the last lap. So at the end, yes, I still get to tell some race stories, but my main focus is on Haley's racing right now and my kids. We'll always be a race family, you know. If everything goes great, that's our plan, you know.
As a dad, what are you most proud of all these accomplishments you've done?
At the end of the day, I've strived for so many things. You know, I've strived for, you know, won a Supercross, won X Games, won Rallycross, won, you know, off-road truck championships. And, I could probably name a few things on my fingers that have been the coolest moments of my life, to where literally in tears, you know. And that was when Haley won her first stock car race. When Hayden won his, you know, was the best kid in the nation, won the championship that day. Those were the moments that I would say the coolest moments, you know, that I've had in my life, seeing that, you know, because you just, so much work, so much time, so much, you know, sacrifice went into that. And it's just cool to see your kids accomplish things, you know. It just is.
Love it to death. All right, Haley, now it's your turn. At this young age, which, you know, it's all you know. You've grown up with it. But what are you most proud of?
This past year has been one of my, like, dream seasons. Like, everything that I've wanted to accomplish ever since I was little, this year was, like, the year to do it. And it's only gotten better and better each year. So winning that race was definitely something that, it was crazy. In the moment, I didn't know how big it was going to end up being and how much of a historical thing that it was. So it was crazy. In the end, I was racing up in Idaho in a 200-lap race, and it came down to the last lap where I had to move my teammate for the win, and we did it. So,
you know, I love how she says I had to move my teammate, crash him out or something, right?
We didn't crash him. We just got him a little loose, and he filed that fucking pipe.
I love it. I mean, you know, listen, what you're witnessing right here is a little bit of history in the making, and I'm very proud of her dad and her both. And I know that Dad is going to continue to just swell up in his heart to watch his kids do what they're doing. But I think that all of us fans of both of yours are right there with you. We love seeing this family thing that is happening within your family. And all I can do is continue to wish you the best of luck with everything you guys are doing. Congratulations to both of you. Any final words?
Thanks for letting us tell our story, right? I mean, it's a journey. I feel like we're just beginning with the kids right now. And I'm excited to see where it heads, especially with Haley's NASCAR career. And like I said, having these good partnerships that we're aligning with, like Craftsman, I just can't wait to break some records. So it's going to be awesome.
Fantastic. Last words, Haley?
Thanks for having us. It's cool to get to come out here, kind of tell our whole life story, how this past year has been.
Well, keep an eye on these two. Of course, Brian Deegan and Haley Deegan. NASCAR Rookie of the Year right here and X Games champion. I'm Alan Taylor here from the Craftsman booth. Give it up for the Deegans.
My dad is a proud doer, always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
I'm Alan Taylor. This is the Craftsman Live stage here at SEMA 2018. Joining me right now is Kevin Raftery. He is the specialist and communications dude from Nissan, the truck division of Nissan. Nissan doing a great job with their trucks, by the way.
Yes, thank you.
First of all, I've always loved diesel engines.
Yep.
And you guys did something that was really kind of cool. You made a heavy duty, light duty truck.
We did. Yes, that's our.
Can I say that?
Yes, that's not so far off
you
base.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, because it's like
XD.
Right now, I drive a 3/4 ton Ram. No, it's a 1 ton Ram crew cab, 4-wheel drive dually. And I bought it used with 2,000 miles.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, my gosh, why would somebody buy it with 2,000 miles and then trade it back in? I know why. Because as soon as I drove it down the block, it was like driving a buckboard.
Yep.
So if you don't have a load in that truck, you know, I do trailer, so when I put the trailer on, it's fine. But the thing about these heavy-duty trucks is, man, they will beat the lid. I got stretch marks.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a fat guy. I got stretch marks for my truck. I'm joking. But, you know, it's like you bounce a lot. So when I drove the Nissan with the Cummins diesel in it,
Cummins
I was like, this is it. You got ride. You got capability. You got a Cummins diesel. And it's made in America.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, they don't realize what they actually need in their truck. People think they need the biggest one out there.
You know, it's true. And honestly, that's how I think guys are like that in particular.
Yes.
The ladies, they do more research. We go, me, truck, dually, 1 ton, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Diesel, yes.
There's a few of those big trucks around here.
Grunt. I got that from Tim Allen. You know? And that is, you know, that's how I tend to buy things. But, you know, when you do a little bit of homework and you realize there are some cool options out there. I mean, you really gave these truck manufacturers a run for the money.
Yeah. And,
tough market.
And that's kind of been our biggest challenge in some ways, is just getting the word out there of what we offer with our Titan and our Titan XD. Because once people get in our trucks and they drive them and they use them how they're supposed to be used, they love them.
Yeah.
So that's our biggest challenge.
So talk about the engine, the Cummins engine that's in there, because, you know, I think it's important to let people know it's a Cummins engine, but there's so much more going on there. The frame that you guys designed for this thing, because are you calling it a 3/4 ton?
No, it's in between a half and 3/4.
Right,
so
it's like a heavy duty, light duty.
There, yes.
Yeah. So you still get kind of the ride and handling and the stuff that you want for day to day, but you have the ability because it's got a full box frame, as I remember.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I remember when it first came out. It's been a couple of years now, right?
Yeah, 2016 was when the XD came out.
And I was standing there. Smartest thing you guys did at the auto show was have a chassis. No body on it. Just here's the motor transmission chassis. And I looked at that frame, and I'm like, my God, fully boxed frame?
Oh, yeah.
And you got the frame guys right here. The chassis guys. You appreciate fully boxed chassis, right? See? Well, I'm going to ask you about this. There's a test afterwards. But this is a big deal for truck guys. I mean, that gives me a super long life in a lighter truck, but I still have the diesel pulling capability, good fuel economy. What kind of fuel economy?
For the XD, because of its size, it's not EPA rated, but usually around 18 to 20.
So, you know, I mean, it's a heavy-duty truck. My truck, you know, I think I get 17 at the best.
Yeah.
I mean, at the best, which is still pretty good, but it's reaching into an area where you can use that as a work-a-day truck.
Oh, yeah.
And before, when you're getting 8, 9, 10 miles to the gallon, it's like at the price of gas. You know, I'd rather buy a gas truck at that point because, I mean, it's like, you know, price of, I should say, fuel because I'm not getting the extra I need out of it. But, yes, I think that, you know, the way you guys designed it was brilliant. It was right slice in the middle.
Yeah, we saw some space there where there's room for us to grow, and we've been growing the last couple of years. And you mentioned that engine. Yeah, it's 310 horsepower, 555 pound-feet of torque.
Wow.
Just under 13,000 pounds of towing. and very spacious inside, incredibly comfortable. Nice. So, I mean, you can use it for work. You can use it as a daily truck. It's everything you need.
Now, Nissan, do you guys have a display here?
We do. Yes.
Whereabouts is it? I got to go visit it.
We're way out in the back there in one of those white tents.
Are you the guys jumping trucks out there? No, that's not you.
No, that was not us.
You know what's funny is you come to SEMA and it's like, who's doing this? The Hoonigan guys are out in one corner. Ford's got something. Kia's got jumping. I mean, jumping vehicles. You know, I mean, for manufacturers to jump things anymore. But you build them strong enough, you really could.
Yeah.
Not that they advise that.
No, you know. Definitely not. but we're getting back into the SEMA game this year. We haven't been the last couple of years. Yeah.
But you did do one truck, the one for the Red Cross, for animals.
Yes. There's two of them, actually. So the animal one there's the animal one, which is the PAWS one.
Okay.
Animal Rescue Rigs Titan. And then our Ultimate Service Titan, which we created in partnership with the American Red Cross.
So they're both. You know what I heard about? I thought it was Red Cross for animals. I hadn't heard about that before.
Classic
I was like, wow,
up.
Right? But it makes sense. You know what? And if you love animals, of which my family, you know, we've got dogs. When there's a catastrophe, I think it's a brilliant idea to have animal rescue, too. So
absolutely.
Good for you,
too. And this started with we have a new marketing campaign called Calling All Titans, where we went out and we saw that a lot of our truck owners are using their trucks to do good in the community or in the outdoors, or even it's just helping a neighbor move. So that kind of started our wheels spinning about something we could do to give back. So we partnered with the American Red Cross, National Park Foundation, and Habitat for Humanity.
That's good.
A couple months ago.
So what else do you want people to know about Nissan, the Titan, and SEMA, and Nissan's involvement?
Yeah, definitely come out and see us. Really just getting the word out there about what we have in our Titan XD. One point we haven't mentioned is we do also have America's Best Truck Warranty.
So which is?
That's 5 years, 100,000 miles.
Wow.
Bumper to bumper. So anything happens, we're standing by our trucks.
Five-year, 100,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty on Nissan Titans.
That's right. So we're very confident in these trucks, and we're standing by with that warranty. And the Titan also is 100% American-made. So
fantastic.
It's made right here in America.
Look at that. American-made Nissan Titan. Kevin Raftery, thank you very much.
Thank you, man.
Keep up the good work.
Thanks for having us.
I want to... it's been 2 years since I've been behind the wheel of one. I want to check out the newest version.
Let's change that for sure.
Nissan Titan with a Cummins diesel made in America. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We'll be right back. I've got guests galore. Oh, my gosh. We'll be right back.
You can spend this fall hauling bags of leaves to the curb or hauling... Hurry in to your local Dodge dealership for great deals on Dodge Charger with 292 horsepower and 30 mpg highway. Dodge Challenger, the most affordable V8 in its class. And Dodge Durango. This fall, get great deals at your local Dodge dealership. EPA estimated mpg. Actual results may vary based on Ward's Middle Specialty segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
I'm Alan Taylor. This is the Craftsman Live stage here at SEMA 2018. Dennis Collins and his daughter, Kelsey, my sidekick a lot of times, are in the house here. And Black Mountain Jeep products, Collins Brothers Jeep, but also Fast and Loud on Discovery Channel. You see Dennis all the time. And he is the civilized one. I remember when I met Dennis and Richard many years ago, about a decade or more, and I remember thinking to myself, well, that one's the wild one, and that one's the one that knows what's going on. And that's how it's been. And you know what, though? Opposites attract, but you guys do so well together, you and Richard, because you're kind of his, I don't know, his tiller. You steer the way. And, of course, you know, he's so hard to cage these days. He's a monkey out of the cage, you know.
Yeah, it's harder than herding cats with him.
I'll guarantee it. And so he went home a little bit early, and thank you for coming over and sitting with us again here today. We do a lot of running around together, looking for classic cars and fun cars and fast and loud cars. You probably know Dennis from Fast and Loud on Discovery Channel. Him and Richard Rawlings are best friends, and they run around doing what they do. We've been watching them on television. I think they're number two worldwide, the television show, number two worldwide, right behind Wheeler Dealers, also on Discovery. And Wayne Carini was just telling us the numbers that he's number three. And he says, I'm gunning for Richard. So anyway, I love the whole story about the father-daughter relationship And Kelsey is, what are you, 23?
23.
Big 23 years old, following her dad around her whole life. I mean, this man, just so you know, I'll tell you a little bit more about Dennis. He has won car shows throughout the world. He's got a car collection. Blows your mind. He takes you into this building, and it's like, wait a minute. I thought this was just a garage, and it goes deeper and deeper. And then he goes, oh, no, you haven't seen nothing yet. Let's go down to my shop. Then you go to the shop, and he's got a wrecking yard of Jeeps out behind his, you know, Collins Brothers Jeep. Then he goes to his other storage facility, and he's got all these cars. Well, we'll build that one next year, and this one here we're holding on to. It's got six original miles. I'm like, six original? You know, it's like the stories about him go on and on and on. But this father-daughter relationship is really cool. So what have you been doing? I always like to find out. You come to SEMA, you're looking, you're listening, and you're showing up at some of these booths and signing autographs, shaking babies and kissing hands or something like that?
The last 9 months, we've been solely concentrating on our new JL product line for Jeep accessories for JL. We do have one here. And
so what's the company?
It's called Levrac.
Levrac.
Levrac. It's a storage system for shops.
Yeah, I got to go see that.
So we have a running and driving finished JL with a Hellcrate, you know, Hellcat drivetrain in it. So 707 horsepower.
So you've done those before, though, right?
We've done them in JKs.
JKs.
This is the first JL.
This is the new JL.
I believe this is the only JL running and driving with a Hellcat drivetrain in
it. Well, that's the thing. You guys have made what would be called the Scrambler Jeep trucks.
Yeah, there's the JK8.
You guys have done all these things, and you seem to be first to the table with whatever, you know, putting a Hellcat engine in a Jeep can't be easy, especially with all the electronics. How do you deal with the electronics?
We had a lot of help. Now, that is the biggest problem, is getting all the computers to talk to each other and get all the gauges working, get all the shift points right in the transmission. We actually spent more time on the electronics than we did on the entire build.
You're doing something with your daughter and your company now, which is social media. You and I are a bit older. Our kids are at that age where the social media world, they were born with it, right?
Right.
I'm going to hand you the mic a little bit. Maybe you can talk about what you're doing and the numbers involved with it, because you can have a business in Dallas that actually has a worldwide audience, which is what's going on with Dennis.
Yeah, we can. Things have actually turned quite international. Jeeps, it's a cult market. We're huge internationally, and so are the classic cars. He's actually been running a Wanted Dead or Alive ad in couple publications.
Hemmings and Dallas Morning News.
For almost going on 40 years now, and print stuff isn't doing the best, so I decided to make a website. We've got classicsdeadoralive.com. So people that have cars that they think they want to sell, have friends might want to sell, or even come across on the side of the road, they send in pictures, a little description, location, and we go through them, and we really end up buying over half the cars.
So the social media thing, what are some of the numbers?
So actually last week we just hit 302,000 on his Facebook, and I think today we hit 236,000 on his Instagram, and it's been awesome. It's been pure. We don't boost anything, haven't used any ads. It's cool to see how interested people are. And we do our coffee walks every Friday, which is a less than 10-minute video, and it's kind of turned into something big. Dennis will walk around our shop and talk about all the classic builds, Jeep builds, and future anything automotive related that we've got coming up, and some of them are really interesting and they're cool. People want to see what we've got going on every day.
All right. From the Craftsman stage, I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be back with more.
Is it you looking outside, just banging on the front door? You said you had enough. Now you're
stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel costs, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome to the Craftsman Garage here at SEMA 2018. I'm Alan Taylor. This man on the end over here is Dennis Collins and his daughter, Kelsey. It's so interesting to see, you know, how it's like us older guys work so hard and build a shop and, you know, we see friends out in the audience and we work and it's like these young kids come along all of a sudden expand the world because of social media and because of videos and doing stuff like the coffee walk. I'm like, it's like weird. I'm like, oh, it's coffee walk. I got to get a cup of coffee. I automatically Pavlovian condition. I got to have a cup of coffee, right? And then I got to go watch Dennis walk around and talk about what they're doing in the shop. What is going in the shop? So when you do a coffee walk, give us an example of what that's like.
Well, we hit on the classic cars and on the Jeeps because those are both of our passions. So we'll walk through and show what Jeep restorations are going on. It may be a CJ. It may be a Wagoneer, but also, you know, performance Jeep builds and so on, superchargers, lift kits, wheels, tires. But we'll also show what we found that week, you know, some of our barn find stuff.
So when you say barn find, give us an example of one.
We went to Kalamazoo, Michigan, I don't know, probably 2 months ago. And we bought a 330 GT Ferrari and a 1934 Morgan three-wheeler that had both been in this garage since 1978. They had not moved.
Is that like when you see those, does that like just make your heart grow?
It's awesome.
It's like there's not much that can get a guy excited that has so much access to this world, but a barn find's got to be it.
That's great. Yeah. And we've got, we actually bought two mid-year Corvettes recently. But it's been raining so much in Texas that we hadn't been able to get them out of the barn.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally the last month. We bought them a month ago. But we bought a 67 coupe that's got an L88 motor in it. And then we bought a 63 Corvette Roadster. But we'll go back and film that for Coffee Walk, me and Kelsey pulling that stuff out of the barn, and Big Chris and whoever's available.
Whoever's available. Dave Hall from Restore Muscle Car. Dave, is it weird? You know, I mean, you're friends with Richard and Dennis and Kelsey. When you see what they're doing with their social media stuff, I notice you're starting to do a little more. It's inspiring, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is. You know, the social media age, I have my own social media guy that works for me, Dylan, and we all try to work together to help with what we're doing with our business and keeping these cars in circulation, like Dennis was saying yesterday, and for future generations to come and stuff. And so by doing that through social media, it really helps keep these younger crowds involved and getting them back into the classic cars.
We were doing a barn find in East Texas. I think we were in Cooper, Kelsey and I, and Chris, and we were getting a V12 Jag Roadster and a Super Duty Trans Am. Well, as soon as Kelsey posted one picture, the phone rings and it's Dave.
By the way, did you see the picture of the Burt Reynolds car? It was posted in the Bandit website, the Bandit Run Facebook page. Did you see it? It was Burt Reynolds in the car, in the Trans Am, with all the camera gear on it. You got to see. Have you seen it?
Yes.
It's like...
No, from the movie.
Yeah, from the movie, when they were making the movie. But so... Dave was friends with Burt Reynolds, and I got to meet Burt Reynolds and talk to him. Of course, these guys have met him and stuff, too.
It's Jeff Catlin.
Hey, Jeff, come here. Come here. It's a gang effect. Jeff Catlin from Barrett Jackson, you guys. And so it's the same kind of thing we were just talking about, social media. Because, yeah. I mean, you and I have been working together, of course, with Barrett Jackson, you a lot longer. But this, it's like, it's crazy, isn't it, how the world has expanded because of it.
The social media craze has now, we are opening a division literally for that within Barrett Jackson, because we feel we're so far behind everybody else because of what it brings. We did a little deal last year. We built a car for Prestone and we put it out just on Facebook, and thinking, I'm like, nobody's going to watch this. And I had a guy walk up to me here last year and go, man, I saw you on Facebook. That car was great. And I'm like, really? And then they brought me analytics, and like, it made me sweat. I was like, oh my God, that many people watched that. So we're launching into all of that next year. Be watching, because there'll be Barrett Jackson, I don't know, channel or network or something. I don't know.
The Fox Body video has officially, is now past 5 million.
What?
Jesus, yeah. Right? And
5
it's just,
million
I, I'm amazed by all of it. I mean, nothing. I mean, the stuff. That,
no advertising dollars, she said.
Right. And the stuff that we do, I've seen the analytics of us sitting on the stage and me running around like an idiot looking at cars and everything. 1 hour where we were on, you and I, it was 879,000 people watching that camera. And I'm like, I don't know if I can do it anymore. Like, I'm too nervous now. But it is unbelievable, the expanse. And it's just, it's the way things are going. So, yeah, we're trying to embrace it and move on and be ahead of the wave. I don't know. But, yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because I work also with Entrepreneur Magazine. So I get to go with Motor Trend at one moment and Entrepreneur with the other. And what I deal with is entrepreneurs. I mean, we're car guys and gals, but entrepreneurs. Look at you guys. Yeah, getting all fancy with the logos. Thank you, Jeff. All right. Jeff Catlin from Barrett Jackson just behind us over here. But to me, it's a phenomenon. And if it wasn't for our kids, I don't know how much we would be doing it.
Well, I wasn't doing it at all.
No, I know.
Kelsey started. She has done every bit of it and done it organically.
I was glad to see it because you're really the guy that is the walking encyclopedia of stuff. And I mean, being your dad, it's probably like no big deal. But when car guys see what it is, she says he's still a big deal. But when we see it, it's like you fall in love with that. The guy who has that much cranium space. I don't have it.
It's just full of car stuff.
It's full of car stuff. That's it. But all right. I just wanted to say hi to you guys. Thank you very much for coming over.
Thanks for having
us. Anything
else
you want to tell the world about Collins Brothers Jeep or anything before you go?
Well, I'd like for everybody to go see the new JL that we have, the Hellcrate conversion done on.
Yeah.
It's in the Levrak booth. It's 72004. And then watch us at the Dennis Collins Coffee Walk so you can see what's going on in the shop. And then, of course, our website for JK Wrangler Accessories is BLKMTNJeep.com.
BLK for Black Mountain, BLKMTN.
And then if you got a classic car out there in a barn, doesn't have to be in a barn, it can be in a garage, it can be in the backyard, it can be in a field, go to our Classics Dead or Alive .com or Classics Dead or Alive on Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're actually learning it finally. I know. I love it. Restore a Muscle Car. Tell us about that real quick. It's time for your commercial.
All right. At Restore a Muscle Car, we're basically out of Lincoln, Nebraska. We work with Dennis and the Black Mountain Jeep products also. So we restore Trans Ams are what we're very well known for. We've been doing them for years. We started the Bandit Run event back in 2007 in conjunction with Burt Reynolds and then work getting him involved in the car community and stuff. And so basically being involved with him for over a decade. But at Restore a Muscle Car, everything. We have 22 technicians. 40,000 square foot facility. We work on all American classics.
He is the best in the business for Trans Am, period. So if you've got one you want it done and done right, send it to Dave.
Thank you. We care a lot about these cars, and so not only restoring them, but also making and helping getting the parts developed that are needed. You know, whether we're making them or somebody else is making them, we want them to be the best that they can be in the industry to keep these cars, you know, on the road for as long as we can and be able to enjoy them and a part of the shop, and especially with, you know, everything we do as far as, you know, all of our builds, whether it be classic cars, Jeeps, and everything in between, you know, it's all a part of where we live our life.
You guys do great work. Thank you very much. I'm Alan Taylor here in the Craftsman booth. We'll be back with some more.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
There are many words you could use to describe the new Kia Stinger GT. Stunning, stylish, sporty. The word breathtaking, however, isn't just an adjective. It's a warning. Because while the ability to go 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds might take your breath away, going 60 to 0 with powerful Brembo brakes will help you catch it again. The 2018 Kia Stinger GT. Fueled by youth. Stinger GT rear-wheel drive using launch control with factory-equipped 19-inch wheels. Results may vary. Do not attempt. Always drive safely.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome to the Craftsman Garage here at SEMA 2018. I'm Alan Taylor. I also work with Car and Driver and Motor Trend and Barrett Jackson and ABC with Live with Kelly and Ryan Seacrest. And I'm a car guy. I've been a car guy my entire life. And I have a radio show on 100 radio stations around the country and television. And so what I do is I go out and I meet people. We talk about their cars and that's what I do. I mean, it's a fun job, and somebody's got to do it. We are here with Aaron Hagar, who has, first of all, he has his shop is called The Rat Runner's Garage, and it's in
Lake Tahoe.
I was going to say Reno, but it's Lake Tahoe. And then he has a couple of television shows. Aaron Hagar, welcome to the show. Tell us about your television shows.
Thank you, Alan. We Design, Cut, Build. We're in season 4 now. We start filming again in March, and that is down in Reno. So you're halfway. But I can't discuss the other one yet.
You know. Oh, you mean I blew it already?
You know how this works. But, you know, I have to say I'm a little disappointed because, you know, Richard was just up here, and he was talking about his tequila, and now he's going to do a rum. What the hell, man? He's catching up with us? You know, we got two tequila companies, Mezquila and our Sammy's Beach Bar rum, which I brought some. I didn't know if I could bring it in here, but I got some for you. So.
Really? Well, his dad and the family are into this, and I think that your dad has a pretty good already head start on Richard.
Well, I don't know. Richard's got a lot of eyeballs these days.
So tell us about your life. I mean, growing up with Sammy Hagar.
How much time do we have? Well, that's what show two will be. But show one is called Design, Cut, Build. It's a web series, YouTube, with Torchmate, Lincoln Electric's Torchmate, which is their robotic plasma system, which is pretty cool. So we shoot down in Reno. Just finished season 3, 12 episodes, and we got season 4 and 5. So, yeah, it's a fun show. It's a product show. It's about 15 minutes a short. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I'm taking the position of learning, so I don't go in there as an expert, a know-it-all. So it's really fun because the audience and I get to learn together. And I had eye surgery about a year and a half ago, and it's been very challenging. So that's been fun to deal with on the show.
You know, I notice you're not wearing glasses, but you have them hanging around.
They don't do nothing. They don't do anything.
But the rest of the story is that Aaron is an amazing artist. He is truly, I think that I admire you most for your art and craft, and with cars, but also on canvas.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, artist, designer, it's a creative lifestyle, and that's really what I promote. People say, what do you do? I live creatively.
True story. Where did your love for cars start? I mean, I know it had to have been your dad was a big car guy, but you also have your own style.
Yeah, well, you know, dad has a certain price bracket he can work in. I don't, so I've had to be very creative and resourceful with what I like and had to build it myself. And my first car was a little Alfa Romeo back in 1986, and I became a car guy trying to keep that thing on the road, you know.
Well, speaking of that, so here we are in the Craftsman booth. When did you start wrenching on cars?
Probably 1985 when I started working on my daily driver. You know, you go foreign and vintage to start with, you become a car guy pretty quick, yeah.
Your shop today, Rat Runner's Garage, you deal with not-so-shiny cars.
True. You know, up in Lake Tahoe, it's hard to have a nice car because you're out in the weather and you're out in the extreme elements. And there's so many relics laying around. You know, you've got the logging industry, the mining industry, a little bit of agriculture. So, you know, you have the early teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, abandoned vehicles everywhere, literally. And as properties get broken up from large property owners back in the day, these relics are sitting in their yard and they don't want them. So literally, I go around and gather them up. You know, I'm not quite Darnell yet. He's got a much bigger stable. But yeah, it's really fun to find these relics and to put them back on the road. Tahoe's a small town, so the demands for having something on the road, you know, it's not like I'm driving in L.A., so I can have an antique vehicle, kind of an antique condition, and drive it safely in a small town because we're not doing speeds over 40. So, you know, you have a little more braking room. But, yeah, and it's really a lot of fun, I think, and that's what's really kind of immersed me in that lifestyle.
Well, I can tell you, you need to watch his TV show. I want you to tell people, how do people find you, follow you, and get more of you?
Thanks to social media, I'm all over it. Aaron Hagar and theratrunnersgarage.com. It's we Google well, as they say.
Give it up for Aaron Hagar, one of my best buddies in the whole world. He's a great guy. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, as always.
All right, thanks for joining us over here at the Craftsman Stage. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time. All while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.